Okay, I just hit the record button. Hello, all out there in internet land. This is Scott, the host of San Carlos Computer Club, and
this is Liliana, his daughter, the helper of the intros.
The bumper of the intros?
Helper of the The bumper of the intros!
The bumper of the intros! What is that called? You're hype man. You're the hype man for the San Carlos Computer Club.
Yeah.
And this is the intro for our last meeting, which took place on... Indeed, I don't remember. Was it the 26th? I think it was the 26th.
Today's the 27th.
Today's the 27th? Well, it couldn't be the 26th then. The 23rd? Look at your calendar.
It's on Tuesday. It was the 23rd.
The 23rd. Okay, so this is the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club meeting from February 23rd, 2021. Thank you for the help.
You're welcome.
Bird. BB and I are on a mission from God. No, actually.
From God.
Actually, it's from Yuya. Maybe there's like some... Like, you know.
Connection.
There's some connection there. We're on our way to Wimus to make a payment on our brand new sofa.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Nobody's seen it. We've only seen pictures of it.
They're scamming us.
Hope not. No. We're buying from a friend, so. But we're probably not going to see it for a month because of the way it works. Hey, this is the intro to the computer club meeting that you attended in cosplay. With a parrot.
A parakeet.
You were like an anime pirate. Here we go. Hey, dude, slow down. Boy, Mexico, where a stop sign is only a suggestion. How should we end the club?
Well, that was it. Nice talking to you guys.
Until next Tuesday, tech on. Have an awesome week.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, well, I've just hit the recording button officially. Though I haven't hit the streaming button yet. I'm going to have to remember to hit that at the moment. So I don't know if you can see, I've had this Radio Garden up. I've been listening to it this morning. Judy was telling us earlier how much she was enjoying. I feel like the infinite number of radio stations available. Have you tried going to some bizarre places for music?
I haven't, but Africa would be a good choice, someplace in Africa.
Scott, there's one I spotted in Greenland. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
It's in your language, I'm sure.
See, and here when I said bizarre, I was thinking empalming.
That might be a bizarre enough.
So just to let you all know that I am on the list here in Mexico, since I'm a permanente, a friend of mine was able to register me online.
Oh, excellent. My mother-in-law is registered as well and has had her first phone call back.
Oh, but, really? I haven't gotten one yet, and mine was about the same day or day after-ish.
Well, apparently the first call back, it doesn't give you an appointment. It just verifies that you're real.
Oh, so maybe
it verifies.
It's not coming to my home phone, you know, so.
Oh, so maybe somebody else. Yeah, that's how my mother-in-law and my wife have done it. It's come to you. Yeah. In fact, I guess people have been having trouble figuring this out, and so people have been hitting you up for help. So she's been receiving phone calls from... That's you?
That is me.
Okay.
I just wasn't going to broadcast that all over, but you did, so that is me.
Yeah. So she's
And I
been...
also understand that Hambone Insurance is doing it.
Helping people with phone calls?
No, registering them.
Yes. Okay. What Yuya is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I have the WhatsApp number that is connected to the commissario. sort of the neighborhood watch thing.
Right.
And I got a thing from the Caracol the other day, and it was basically they come to the office and we'll sign you up. Just bring your, you know, ID, right, and we'll sign you up and get you going. That was a couple of days ago, I guess.
Now, I'm on the one for Ranchitos Loma Del Mar, and I didn't get anything like that.
I got what Cheryl's talking about. I'm on the, for the Ranchitos.
I don't think I got it for Loma Del Mar.
I always get the two groups confused, though, because we have a Ranchitos Committee for Bettering, and we have the Neighborhood Watch, and I'm not sure which one it came in.
It came on the emergency one for the Caracol.
Okay. So maybe it was pushed out across the Neighborhood Watch. That's what I call them, the Neighborhood Watch WhatsApp groups. If you got it through the Caracol and I got it through the Ranchitos. Ah, here comes BB.
Making my entrance.
You are.
Hello. I made my entrance.
That's. Let me turn on the other camera here.
I was going to say, we need to see this.
There we go. BB's doing a little bit of cosplay this morning. But did you bring your headphones? That's the question.
I didn't. I don't even think they're going to fit.
You'll have to wear them behind your... What do you call these?
Horns.
Horns behind your horns?
Probably.
That is such a cool outfit.
Thank you.
Stand up. Stand up again.
Did you guys make that? Oh,
no.
That is so cool.
Over a little bit. In the doorway. There you go. Right there. I need a better... Oh, there. That helps, doesn't it?
Oh, there you go.
That's what I was trying to do. So what's the name of this character?
Oh, it's Kana.
Kana.
Kana Kamui.
Kana Kamui. From an anime that is new or old?
I don't know. I feel like it's around a couple years ago. I'd call it new, but it was like a couple years ago.
And she's been big into anime. She's an artist. She likes to draw, and she likes anime, and she likes cosplay. And she likes TikTok, too. You can find her live on TikTok. She's big on TikTok. Morning, Chester. We're just checking out Bibiana's cosplay.
Good morning.
We haven't actually started, but I have gone ahead and just hit the stream button just so I don't forget, because there's too much going on.
And by the way, Scott, I did get that notification on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Somehow it right by me.
There we go. Let's see this. So BB's got another day without screens, and she's going to hang out with us, I guess, in cosplay. Look at this. We're so lucky to have her with us. You should get your headphones, though, because I need to turn these speakers off.
Okay.
And we start 9 minutes. For real. Yeah, absolutely. Please bring the bird.
I might need to bring the cage.
This is going
to
be the Scott and BB show and tell show.
I might need to bring the care.
That's okay. Yeah.
Did you send out a message today?
I did. Did you not get it again, Paul?
I didn't get it. I tried to do a history of SCCC, and it told me it couldn't find any messages. And then, but I tried images or pictures, and then I found an old image, an image that you had sent out, and that's how I got an old email to click in.
Okay. Well,
mine goes into my calendar, therefore I get 4 messages. I must.
How do you end up with 4 messages? I would understand, but 4 I don't understand.
A message, I send out a message, you send out a message, and then there's another one. My calendar sends an automatic message to me.
Okay.
And they're
from your Macintosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, Scott.
Hold on.
I just said put something in the chat line for Bibian.
Okay.
It's a Russian girl who does almost any cosplay.
She will be right back. She went off for her headphones, and I realized I was not quite ready yet either, because I don't have anything in front of me. And let's look at Bill's link here.
So cosplay is basically you dress up in a movie character? Is that?
Yeah, any well, character. Yeah, some character of that you have fandom for. Excellent.
My goddaughter does a bunch of stuff, like her and her niece and her sister have dressed up as the girls from Ghostbusters, and
yeah,
she's
that's
done
cosplay.
All that's cosplay. Okay, and she's done different ones from Star Wars, and her husband does superhero kind of thing, Avengers and that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's like Halloween on steroids. Only they have places they go. They have conventions.
Yeah.
We'll get her over here. She can explain to you what her idea of cosplay is. Russian cosplayer can transform herself into any character. Are you familiar with this girl, BB? What was her name? Imagine if you had... Well, maybe you'll recognize her from the pictures. Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. Oh, wow. Her Black Widow's pretty good.
It looks like it's good something.
Do you recognize good. This girl here? Oh, look at that. Here, let me switch cameras to there. Here's my cosplayer and her cosplayer.
Dream.
Can you guys make out her bird?
Through white.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is BB's best friend
is
now.
Is that her sister dressed up?
No. That's a dressed up chicken.
Put her up on the horn.
It's a dressed up chicken. Always playing with your pen.
I like those Japanese girls that dress up. That I don't
all
think
is
they're
a
imitating
family show.
Characters. No. They dress up, not undress up.
It's hard to tell sometimes.
Vivi, do you see those girls in Japan that dress up like rag dolls and stuff like that?
No.
The rag dolls? No.
Well, they're just dolled up, you might say.
Mm. Well, they're probably... Where does cosplay come from? Is it really...
I think it's just in Japan.
Yeah.
Come from
it Japan! Seems to all have happened... along the same lines, comic books, anime, Japanese culture, cosplay, all happening, kind of growing over the last 20 years, probably.
Oh,
yeah, well, the Comic-Con really sponsors
you
it, too.
You have paper towels on you.
All right. Now the bird is pooping in my office. There is paper towels here somewhere.
There was paper towels.
What happened to it?
Just flick it on the floor.
Right. Oh, here they are. I was using them to clean.
BBN, do you have to follow it around with a little budgie bag to poop the poop scoop?
Pretty much. It's like a dog. Oh, don't poop there. Don't poop there.
Yeah, don't poop on my work. Leave my work alone.
We had chinchillas, a couple of pet chinchillas, and they are so fast that you have to hold them by the tail all the time. Keep them under control, but every time they move from one place to another, they leave a message.
What is that? A message?
Chinchilla?
Yeah, but what...
Well, you know.
What message does it leave? Yeah. It's,
I've been
turdlet.
Here.
I've been here.
They leave a turdlet.
They leave skid marks everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're just about to start. I mean, it's 2 minutes till... Everybody's here. Dad popped in, but he hasn't said anything. Are you there, Pop?
Good morning. Yes, I just having trouble waking up.
It's too early for the Alaskans. We are almost just moments away from starting. Hello, Dream.
Oh, I did it. Make sure it doesn't poop on your coffee.
He likes you, Scott.
Yeah. He's a very friendly bird.
I just realized I got like a cable up here.
All right, I'm turning these speakers off. Can you hear okay?
Yeah.
All right. We're here. It is the San Carlos Computer Club. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy you guys decided to spend your Tuesday morning with us. BB has as well. She's here doing cosplay and avoiding extra schoolwork.
Woo! I say it's unfair to give us schoolwork around these days because you want us a day without screens, but also expect us to do homework.
This has been an ongoing debate in our house, how can you have a day without screens and still be assigned homework that can only be done on screens? Well, you are the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, ready to help at a moment's notice.
All right. I need help.
All right. Ready to answer questions, provide topics, and try and be entertaining.
Okay. Well, you are very entertaining. So, Scott.
Yes.
On a more serious note.
Bill, on a more serious note, I'm giving you the bird.
Yes, I understand that. You can have this one back.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
No.
I'm thinking of trying out Linux on this laptop that's so slow that won't operate really well.
Okay.
And I need a recommendation for a Linux flavor.
A Linux flavor. Well,
yeah, you have.
I like Ubuntu versions. I find them to be the closest. I find them to be the closest to a Windows or Macintosh style environment. There's versions that have like a start menu like you'd expect to find in Windows. There's also versions that have like a dock like you would see in a Macintosh. This bird is really enjoying my company. Don't poop in my coffee.
He will. Do not. You can't have anything nice with this thing around.
And so I would look for a Ubuntu itself, or maybe a lighter. There's a light version that I like to use called Lubuntu. The only thing with the light versions are that there's not a lot of hand-holding. They're fairly intuitive, but there isn't a lot of stuff popping out and giving you help. I would probably, since it's a fairly modern computer, I would probably start with an Ubuntu, the release. What are we on? I think we're on release 20.0. It's too bad Richard isn't part of this conversation. He's probably more up to date than I am. Yeah, 20.04.
That's okay. I just needed a start point. I'm just going to just run her up on this sucker and see if it makes any difference.
Yeah, well, you can easily that by loading a USB drive. It'll be like what Jim was talking about this morning. You can load up a USB drive with Ubuntu and run the whole system right off the USB drive.
How do you boot it then?
You boot it off the USB drive. Now that's not going to be the hard part. You have a secure boot on your Windows computer, and it won't allow you to boot from anything but the internal hard drive. So to be able to boot off of the USB, you're going to have to go into the BIOS and turn off the secure boot to allow it to boot off
I've been
of USB. Say again.
Yeah, like you find you have your boot options in the BIOS, and you can go CD player or yada yada yada. That's the one you're talking about.
Well, so I don't know if you've been paying attention recently, Bill, but since about Windows 8, there's two. There's the boot options like you just described, but then there's the secure boot option. And so what the secure boot option is, it's this EFI, I think is what it's called. And what it does is it goes to your hard drive to find out what's okay to boot. So you can't boot any of those other options. So you want to turn it off and then choose the boot option of USB. It's two different sets. One is your boot order and your options that are available. I wish I had BIOS in front of me. The other one is this, EFI, EUFI? What is it called? EFI.
Secure boot. So if I just boot. Google that, it'll give me.
Secure, yeah, and it's going to be boot, specific to your model. It's UEFI is what it's called. Macintosh has used it forever, and it got involved in Windows around Windows 8. And the idea is that people couldn't have their computer compromised by a USB drive. So for you to boot off of a USB drive, you have to turn that feature off. And there's a good chance when you turn it off, you might have trouble booting Windows again until it's turned back on.
Okay.
Depending
yeah, it's
on
just
the
sitting here. It's really not doing anything. So, yeah, I'll fool around. That's a good starting point.
I've got a question. Did you ever get a did you ever get a new power supply for it?
Yes, oh, yeah.
And it didn't make any difference.
No. Well, you did it. I mean, when you mentioned power supply, then all of a sudden it cratered. It just calved out. So then I had to go on to Amazon, and I got one of those multi-plug power supplies, and it works fine, but it didn't make any difference.
It didn't None make any left. Difference at all.
No. No. Anything I've done so far made no difference. When you put the CPU speed up on there, anytime you load up anything on it, it drops down to about 1.2, 1.4. If you leave it alone, it'll come back up to 2.1, 2.2.
Wow.
But as soon as you try to do anything on the CPU, it just drops.
It sure sounds like a thermal issue, but at the same time, it never gets hot.
No, it doesn't get hot.
It's like slowing down like it thinks it's getting hot, but it's not.
Yeah, I remember you saying that it sounded like it was a malfunctioning thermocouple.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry, I was just going to ask one last thing. Have you tried, it's HP, right? Have you tried, is it HP? Am I remembering that right?
Acer.
Acer.
It's an Acer.
It's an Acer. Have you tried doing Acer support with it?
No.
You might also do some Google searches on the model. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a known issue with it.
Yeah. I did reload Windows from scratch and built up the image again, and that made no difference either.
If it was still under warranty, I think it would be a reason to send it back.
Oh, that's long gone from there.
Yeah.
Like this is 2-3 years old now.
Well, you can. Oh, there's Tata. Look at that.
Hi.
Well, yeah. You can try Linux on it. You know, one of the nice things about booting live Linux on your computer is typically it will set up all your equipment. So if it's a software problem in Windows, you can figure that out by finding out it's working just fine under Linux. So if
Linux will look at it a lot deeper than the Windows will.
Well, Linux distributions now do a really good job of including all the drivers, and they set up like the bare bones of all your equipment. So if you're having a Wi-Fi problem and you're not sure whether it's software or the hardware, you could boot up Linux, and if it goes on your Wi-Fi network without a problem, you know your problem is a Windows problem. And you can approach...
Yeah,
go ahead.
My week's homework is to tackle this.
Okay. Excellent.
We just got a delivery.
They got a package.
I have a question for you, Scott, whenever appropriate.
Well, sure. In typical computer club format, we have no format. So go right ahead.
All right. You sent me a profit and loss statement from the B&B for the forgiveness provision that I'm working on.
Okay.
When I went to open the attachment, it disappeared. She'd actually sent it several times. Every time I went to open up her attachment, it disappeared. I couldn't find it. I even had Justin come up and help search for it a little bit. We never could find what happened to it.
That's bizarre.
Does that make any sense to you?
What email are you receiving it at?
Well, she just sent a message to me and added the attachment to it.
Is that your Gmail account?
In the Gmail, yeah.
And so when you get the email, do you see the paperclip?
No, it's gone.
The paper?
It disappeared once I tried to open it.
Hmm. So I'm looking in a Gmail right now, and inside an email, it would show the attachments at the bottom of the message. You'd have a little... Wait, do you know what kind of file it is that she was trying to send you? Is it a PDF?
No, Yes, yes, I take that back. That's what it is.
It's a PDF?
It had a yes, it was a PDF format. Right. And like I say, she sent me a couple, and every time I went to open them, they just disappeared.
You might try opening them in a different browser. What browser are you using? Is it the Edge or Chrome browser for your Gmail account?
Well, I'm normally on Chrome.
Okay. I would try a different one in case there's something specific going on in your browser. I'm not sure why they would be disappearing. It's almost like a poorly formed email. Like the program is done.
How do I even open it in a different browser then?
Say again?
How do I open an email in a different browser?
Well, you would sign in.
A Gmail kind of defaults to the Chrome.
Right. So what you would do is just open the other browser. Like in this case, I might open Opera, which is taking forever to open on my screen right now. And then I would just go to Gmail in Opera, type in gmail.com, and sign into your browser there. It doesn't need to be Opera. You have Edge available, and so you could use Edge is the one that you try. But just go to Gmail and sign into it and see if it looks differently. If you... let me see. I'm in an email right now. Here's Topics for Computer Club on my screen, if you can see it. Dave sent me this earlier in the week, and he's attached three Word documents at the bottom of it. And you can see it says three attachments. And if I want to open one, I can just click on it, and it just opens it right there in the Chrome browser. If this isn't the experience you're having with those PDFs...
That's the experience I normally have.
Yeah.
I've got a suggestion.
Go ahead, Chester. What do you got in mind?
I would right-click on it instead of left-click. Right-click on it and then click on open.
Okay.
But they didn't download it.
Yeah, right-click actually isn't available.
Did you look in your download folder? Did you look in your download folder?
So I think that's what both Chester and Paul are getting at is you have different options here.
Yeah.
On mine, you can click this down arrow, and that'll put it in the downloads folder. Like you can save it to the downloads folder. This other one, add to drive, will actually shoot it over to the Google Drive. So now you own it in that Google Drive space. And edit with Google Docs. So it sees my attachment as a Word document that could be edited and gives me the option to open it up in Google Docs and start editing like it was a Word document. Let me see. Do I have a PDF available? Find out if no.
Well, those are some good suggestions to explore.
Yeah, and in the end, if it's just...
I wanted to say how beautiful that little girl is with that bird sitting next to you there.
Here, let me switch over to her camera. Look over here. Say hi to Tata.
Hi, Tata.
Hi. You look so pretty.
Thank you.
Wow, look at that.
We were so worried about getting bird out of the cage when she first got it that it lived how much like 2 months in the cage or
no,
a month
like a
and
month,
a half?
Around a month. Hey. A month and a half. That's a feather.
Okay. Because we were new to birds and we didn't know what to expect, and so we waited until one of our friends came over to help us clip the wings, and then we started letting it out. And it's an amazingly social bird. It absolutely needed to be let out of the cage earlier, didn't it? Because it's not going anywhere. It loves us. It loves hanging out with us.
It likes pizza crust.
It likes to eat pizza.
Well, that's very cool.
Something he does a
lot. Well, thanks, guys. I'll experiment with those things.
Yeah, I hope that helps. Let me know if you're still having problems getting email. You might have her try sending it to another email address as well. And I may have to look at what software she's using for sending attachments because it seems very strange. But there is the possibility that the email is malformed as it's leaving. Maybe some antivirus or some spam filter thing is breaking the emails. Because it seems odd that it would just disappear. Like you click on it and be gone.
I've never had the experience before, and And you might just ask her to send it to me again if she would.
Sure, sure.
Thank you. All right, well, that's enough on that topic. Thanks, guys.
I have a question. I have a question then.
Sure, Jim, what's going on? How you
well,
doing?
We're having very well. I hope everyone's well. You all look well, especially Cheryl on the beach there. So I was wondering about photo storage. You've talked a lot about it, putting them in the cloud and doing that, and it's probably one thing to do with them. But is there a stick or something that I could use to just put it on and get it out? Because I'll tell you the reason we're having there's not enough storage space in the computer because we have all of our pictures and all of the bad pictures as well as the good ones in our computer. So is there a way that I can just get them all out and put them somewhere else in a special stick or something?
Well, you could get a USB stick. I'm actually trying to move over to Amazon real quick as you're talking here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have reasonably priced large sticks that I think we're going to start using as backup devices, the same way we used to use spinning disks.
I'd get an external hard drive.
Well, Chester, that's...
You use your external hard drive, do you, Chester? It's just dedicated only for your pictures?
No, I reduced the pixels in the pictures. And instead of using maximum pixels, I cut her back, and that saved me a lot of space. But I do back them up into a hard drive.
So, and is there a program you use to lower the number of pixels?
Photoshop.
Photoshop.
Yeah, which would it would do a gang of them. You could do 50 at a time.
And does that work with my Apple computer?
Well, they have a Photoshop program for Apple.
Okay, good.
But in order to buy one, I would suggest you go onto one of the auction places to, what am I trying to say?
Like an eBay or something like that. Get a version.
Buy Photoshop.
Hold on a second. Chester, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. Does Jim want to learn how to use Photoshop?
It's quite a complicated program.
It sounds more like what he wants to do is just dump a bunch of photos off of his computer.
If I could lick them and rub them off the screen, I'd be doing that, you know.
I don't think most people would want to. I mean, if you're a Photoshop user to begin with, then of course those are good options for reducing picture size. But you know what's a great option for reducing picture size is using that Google Photos and that unlimited space until June.
Is that like a cloud storage thing?
Yeah. Yeah, but what they do is here's what I'm thinking, is you let the sync and back program go through, sync and backup program go through your photo library, and it puts it all up in the cloud at a reduced rate, because that's how, at a reduced size, because that's how it works with the unlimited, okay. Is it's not right. The originals, but it's a high quality. And then you can later go and just grab everything out of that space and stick it wherever you want. But you let Google make the reduction for you all at once. Well, not all at once. It'll take a week, depending on how many pictures you have. Cheryl, I see you chuckling. Do you have advice as well?
I am so frustrated with Google Photo, I cannot tell you how upset it makes me. So
welcome, Cheryl.
We're working with Google Drive and we're working with Google Photo. Right. And I have been trying to coordinate my family getting all of the photographs that we hired somebody to digitize. So everybody supposedly had a shared link to the person that made them's Google Drive. And I asked everybody to download them into their own computers and everything. Yep. And this morning we find out that, no, my niece didn't do that. So I told her, okay, I'll just send you a link from my Google Drive. They're not there anymore. They've all disappeared. So it sounds nice and easy, but it doesn't work as seamlessly as you might hope. And the other problem is Google Photo, supposedly everything that we take on our Apple devices, everything is saved to Google Photo, but sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't.
Okay, so these are definitely issues.
But I like the idea that Chester had of the external hard drive. They aren't expensive. I bought one for $199, Scott, that you recommended. What is it? I can't what it is. But you just plug it into your computer and download what you want. Mine is, I use it as a backup for my computer. But I would think that you could have it point your photos to it as well.
So it will certainly. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to solve this problem.
And you are interested in sharing them, are you? You just want them off of you guys' computers.
And that's the point I was...
We just need more room on the computer itself.
That's right.
Also, you're trying to take them off of Apple products as well as a camera. Like, where are you getting these pictures from?
Wait, let's solve his problem first. He's got too many photos on his computer. He wants a different place to put them. That's the problem, right?
Right. Correct.
So on my screen, here's half a terabyte for $60 in a USB drive.
Okay, but put up the link for him to
These are portable hard drives, 5 terabytes, 4 terabytes for 100. These are spinning drives. So spinning drives are more susceptible to damage.
Yeah. We've got two of those already that we own, but they're used for other things. But I think this one, like this one you just showed up there now, that little thumb drive, I think
this could be your solution. But you, one of these thumb drives that are a terabyte or a half a terabyte, and you can just dump your library onto it and stick it in the closet, and you know you've got it, or in a drawer, and you can pull that space off. Now there's a couple other things because we hit so many topics. Cheryl, I'm sorry that Google Photos is causing those problems with sharing photos and things disappearing on Google Drive, but that doesn't change the fact that they're good for reducing photo size. And until June, it's unlimited. You release a program on your hard drive, it goes through your photo collection, uploads them to Google Photos at a reduced size. And then later you can come along and select all those photos and stick them somewhere else.
So it's, on the thumb drive.
Yeah, you could do that with the thumb drive. If you're trying to make a whole bunch of photos smaller, it's a lot easier than individually editing them with something like Photoshop.
So how do I have to buy Google Photo?
No, not at all.
We have it.
But yeah, you already have it, and you have the ability to do this unlimitedly until June 1st.
Oh, okay. Did you hear that one, Carolyn?
I did. We have until June 1st.
Okay, well, Carolyn, who doesn't lick
just
things...
just heading out.
You have an idea now?
I do.
Okay, I think you've set us off on a path.
You're also a Macintosh user. And you have iCloud as an option, and you could buy 200 gigabytes of iCloud, and you could set your iCloud settings to save space on your computer. And so it would move all this stuff up into the iCloud and give you limited access to it. Mm-hmm. You'd pay a monthly subscription fee, but it would keep your computer free so it's not overwhelmed. And it would give you access to those things online when you need them. Photos, documents, whatever it might be.
Yeah, but if you're not online, you can't get them, right?
Well, that's true given circumstances where you're not online. But if you're working with something, then they keep the system keeps those things on your computer. Anything that's been inactive for 30 days... it'll put back only online. So if you've got stuff that you haven't touched in a month, then yes, it'll give up that space so your computer stays clean, but leave a copy of that online, if that makes sense.
That's good, yeah. And I guess you could always just make a hotspot of your phone and get them down if you had to.
Yeah, undoubtedly you would not be working with 1,000 things all at once. You'd be that one file you need.
That's right.
And so you could, in a pinch, if you were within cell, you could set it up as a hotspot and get that one thing.
Okay, well, I think we've got, we won't be bored this week.
Chester?
Take a walk. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fred, go ahead. Other computer.
I have to go also, but I'd like to make a comment or two.
Sure, Chester.
Regarding Chester's question, first of all, I would not recommend going to Photoshop just for this purpose. Right. Photoshop is a very complicated and sophisticated program. It takes a lot of energy to learn it. But the other comment that you don't reduce the pixels in one picture at a time. You can do multiple picture reductions.
A batch.
Reductions. But James, I what we don't know is how many pixels your pictures have. I would think in order to have something reduced that I don't know what it is, I would buy the external hard drive or the external USB port and store them there.
Yeah, I agree with Chester. I think it's easy to just throw storage at your problem.
Oh, you just copy them over.
Yeah.
Am I getting through this morning?
You are, Fred. We can hear you.
Okay. Chester, you might try Otherworld Computing.
I've already done mine.
Maybe you're talking to Jim about getting a storage device, Fred?
Yes. Jim?
Guys. See you next week.
See you, Chester.
See you, Chester.
Go ahead, Fred. You were talking about Otherworld Computing.
Yeah, they specialize in Mac stuff. And I've had good luck working with them.
Otherworld Computing provides you things like hard drive upgrades and
I think the
equipment.
Last time I had a 16 terabyte drive available.
Wow. Now that can't possibly be a portable drive.
You put it in a box and it's portable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the advantages of the portable drives is they're like laptop class drives. So they take quite a bit more abuse than the desktop drives.
I think they're 2-inch.
Yeah, if they're the 2.5-inch, then that would be... So what are they doing to get 16... You said terabytes? 16 terabytes?
That's what I thought I saw the last time I was looking.
Well, they must be doing an array of spinning disks. The spinning disks, as far as the spinning disks go, I just try and stay away from the larger profile drives, the ones that are a large size. They're called 3.5-inch spinning disks. And let me see, what have I... Don't I have a visual here?
Let me see.
Apple computer, my Apple Air. I bought a 1 terabyte drive that goes inside of it. It replaces the drive that's in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember that. They were able to provide you with that SSD from them, as well as instructions on how to change it.
Yes.
So
they have very good instructions. They have, you can buy batteries for your equipment. You can buy parts for your Apple stuff from them. And
can you see this?
Yeah, there you go. So I'm hoping you can see this as well. So how big is that terabyte physically, that 4 terabyte drive you got? Is it the size of mine here?
Yes.
So these are portable drives. They're classified portable drives.
Yeah.
And they're smaller drives, and they're the only ones I would ever recommend buying.
Are they still spinning disk in there?
Yes, these are spinning disks.
This is my passport, and it's that's the one you recommended I buy last year.
For a time machine drive?
Yep.
Yeah, and The reason I'm emphasizing the size, you see how big it is compared to my hand,
yeah. Right.
Is because physically this has to be a laptop class hard drive. It can't be anything but at this size. It's got to be a laptop. And the laptop class hard drives can take more abuse. They can be stuck in a bag and carried around, can be dropped by a few feet and not get damaged. There are these really large and fast drives that get sold all the time at cheap prices, and they're a desktop class drive, and they're quite a bit longer and wider, and they're more fragile. You can't.
I think mine's smaller than yours.
Mine's bigger than yours.
No, look. I'm trying to hold it like he is, and I can't. But anyway,
I'm disc envious.
But it comes with all stuff, so you're all set to go.
So if you're on a budget or you're trying to buy as much space as possible, you're going to find it cheaper in a spinning drive. If you're not on a budget, I would use a flash drive, an SSD drive or a USB drive, because that's going to be more secure. And when I say secure in this context, I mean if it falls off the desk, it's not going to break. If it's bouncing around in some bag, it's not going to take damage. The spinning drives, you have to worry about it taking damage just through movement because it's moving parts. And then the distinction in the spinning drives based on the physical size is just because it's a good reference to know what you're looking at. If you're looking at Judy's 4-terabyte drive, that's the same size as this. This is like a laptop hard drive. But if you're looking at a 4-terabyte drive that was wider, longer and wider, then that would be a desktop class drive.
All right.
And the desktop class drive is more fragile. It's meant to be secured in a computer that's not moving. It's sitting in a tower at your desk.
Right, right.
So they take allowances. They get more speed and more space in it, but it's more fragile. And I don't recommend those style drives for external drives. I think I've had those style drives topple over on a desk and stop working.
I'm gonna ask Carolyn if she knows exactly how much of our storage is in photos. I'm gonna go ask her that.
Well, and while he's gone, we can share a bunch of useful information that he'd like to know, but we'll have to come back to the video to find out about.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, sir.
I have on a completely different topic, but very short. When I said we had a delivery at the door,
yes,
it was a brand new Shark Suzy vacuum cleaner.
And you're telling me about that.
But here's the story. Suzy decided to develop this really annoying squeak. Annoying for Cheryl, not for me. I can't hear it on my hearing aids. So we got a hold of Shark Tech, and they have this really cool tech support. It's somewhat similar to your app that you use to troubleshoot computers. Only this was troubleshooting the Shark, and we enabled it. He could see the video and hear us, and he was giving us suggestions on what to do. And he could hear it. He could hear the squeak, and we're unable to troubleshoot this thing to figure out where it was exactly. So instead of sending it in to repair, he says, well, we'll just send you another one. That's what they did. They sent us one whole complete new Shark vacuum.
Are they expecting you to send back the old one? I would think they were expecting you to send back the old one.
I have no indication anywhere that we're supposed to send back the other one.
Well,
there's no return labels. There's no nothing. And he didn't mention anything. So I have a huge, huge shout out to Shark IQ robot vacuum cleaner.
We have two
of them now. Now I got to figure out what the squeak is on the old one.
Well, at the very least, you've got one for parts, right?
So, we got one for parts.
What was really interesting to me was he asked me for my phone number, and he sent the app link, Mirror Me. And all of a sudden he could, like, he didn't connect to the Shark robot. He connected to my phone, and he could see in our house and everything. And anyways, I deleted the link afterwards, which I think was a good idea. But it was quite the technology thing that they could be. He was in Colombia.
Yeah.
And I should have been speaking Spanish with him. But anyway, so he's from Colombia. He could see and hear what was going on in our kitchen. And then he decided that we needed, like, he tried all the troubleshooting. We had to take things apart and oil and, you know, do different things. And he could not get rid of the squeak. So, yeah, he sent us the whole new box. Like, this is a $500 item, which we got $100 off. But they just shipped it to us. And it came within 4 days. You know?
I don't want to burst your bubble, and I hope that you're done with this issue, aside from having to go back to customer support. But I did have an experience like that with Ring, and it was with a product that was much cheaper than your Shark vacuum. It was with one of the Chimes. It had come in a package from Costco. It was the doorbell and two Chimes, and one of the Chimes just stopped working. And I went through with technical support, very easy to work with, and they finally determined that Chime's just not working. We're going to send you a new one. And they did, and that was great. It just showed up. I didn't have to pay shipping, didn't have to do anything about it, all under warranty. And then a few weeks later, I get a message from them going, hey, we're really hoping you send back that old Chime, which I don't care because it didn't work. There was nothing I could do to make it work. It was broken. But they didn't send me a package label. They didn't send anything. And okay. Me being me, I can recognize you guys don't have any of my purchase information. You can't charge me for the Chime. You can't. There's no way for you to hold me accountable for this Chime. But I went ahead and got a hold of them anyway because they didn't even send me a package label or anything to send it back. And they're like, oh, our bad. And they sent me a package label, and I said, because I don't want e-waste in my life, I'll send it back to them. If I don't have to pay for it and all I got to do is put it in a box, I'll send it back. I hope that you don't have to deal with it further, because that would just diminish your great story, and I wouldn't want that to happen.
But
I was caught off guard when they did that to me, when Ring did that to me.
At first he said that there would be a shipping charge, and I said, how much of a shipping charge? And he came back with something like $40. Or he said, well, it will be up to FedEx. And I said, you're going to ship this to me from the U.S. I'm going to be paying customs. I'm going to be paying all these things. She said, just a minute, I'll contact supervisor. And since it was like within 3 months of purchasing it, he said, okay, well, for one time, we'll send it shipment free. But
his feathers.
What? BB's coming. Wow, that's a huge feather.
It was his tail feather.
Wow. We're learning about birds. One of his tail feathers has just come out.
Okay. Well, it was loose. I was expecting it to come out, but look at that.
He's molting.
Anyway, I'm willing to ship it back if they send me a postie or a prepaid shipping label. That's fine.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely.
Until then, they're not getting it back.
Well, and you might be inadvertently taking advantage of the fact that you're in Canada. It may not be worth trying to get it shipped back.
Oh, they don't want it back. They're just going to throw it away anyway. They don't fix these things.
Well, I mean, and it depends on your circumstance. I've definitely had to send equipment back in the corporate world because they wanted to know why it wasn't working. They couldn't make sense out of it through technical support, and they wanted it on their workbench to find out why it was giving us issues. So they sent us a new one. What's that?
I did see online that other people had complained about this squeaking that develops about, you know, a month after you get the thing. It works fine. It's still working, but it squeaks. And they had some suggestions like taking off the front wheel and doing different things. But yeah, you're right. They might want this because for some reason they seem to be developing it.
Yeah,
I have a story about returning things too, and I had a Fitbit that I told my heartbeat and stuff like that, and the strap broke, and I was trying to get a new one, and I found out it was still under warranty, and they said, oh, we'll send you another one, and they were not interested in having it back at all, and their biggest concern was that I dispose of the first one appropriately because it had batteries in it and so on.
So rare earth elements and batteries. And
yeah.
Boy, this bird likes me way too much.
Well, Bill, you can have your two sharks pair dance. You can have them dance together.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them to waltz.
No, square dance. Get them to square dance. Do-si-do.
Oh, by the way, I have one more announcement.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
As of day before yesterday, I believe it is, I have a 4x8 8-ball table in my basement. My son found one for me and brought it over, set it up. I now have an 8-ball table.
Bravo. I'll be right over.
Yeah. Well, bonus. Okay.
What is an 8-ball table? You mean like
what do you mean there was an 8-ball table? Where the hell, what rock have you been living under?
I'm going to Google right now.
It's what you see in the bars all the time. Those pay tables, the ones you put the dollars in.
We call those pool tables in the States.
Pool tables, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's an 8-ball table.
I know
pool
what that
table,
is.
Yeah. Excuse me.
8-ball. I never even heard it referred to as 8-ball before. That's interesting.
Well, that's what you play on it, 4x8. And the bigger ones are 9-ball tables.
Or billiards.
See the bird on your head?
I do.
But as an added bonus, my draft beer machine is just around the corner, so I can pour a draft beer anytime I want.
Jeez. Bill, you're living the life there in Canada. You're not missing Mexico at all.
Well, yes, I am. There's no sunshine.
Is that Canadian rules? Canadian rules 8-ball?
There is no such thing. There's just standard American 8-ball table rules.
Yeah, and nobody drops their gloves and has a fight usually.
No, not over 8-ball.
And Don Cherry doesn't have any commentary on it.
Speaking of how close we are together, have you, Bill and Cheryl, been noticing the anti-masker people in Edmonton are getting quite serious? There was hundreds of them downtown, and not only that, but they had their tiki torches with them.
Yeah, they're carrying goddamn tiki torches now.
Wow.
This is a very sad moment in our history, but they started in southern Alberta in the city of Lethbridge, and they started on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and they had a convoy, and they came all the way up to our capital, which is Edmonton. So that's about a 9-hour drive. Yeah, they got here about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had been through all of the cities on the way north. And they picked up all these different people that supposedly are protesting against the health restrictions, the businesses being not allowed to open fully, the masking, you have to wear a mask, and these kind of things. But along the way, they picked up white supremacists, all kinds of different groups, and it became quite the protest. There were some police officers injured, and it's a very sad day.
Oh my God.
And our
mini
Trump premier took him a day and a half to even. Our mini Trump premier, like your governor,
yeah,
it took him a day and a half to make even a comment on it, saying, "Oh, maybe this was inappropriate."
Jeez. He usually tells everybody, "You have the right to protest. You have the right to not be told to wear a mask. You have rights." And he's been doing that for the last 7 months, and they've been doing all these protests where they become super spreaders, and it's not fun.
I'm just kind of curious if there's maybe an extra suite down in Mar-a-Lago for him. That's my last political comment for the day.
Back to computers here.
Yeah.
No, I'm just not. Come on, I'm blowing
Scott,
when you tell me these stories of Canada. I'm just completely caught off guard. I would not have expected that kind of behavior.
Well,
You got to read J.J. McCullough then on his he's a blogger, the guy that's out there, and he tells you all sorts of surprises about Canada. Not always positive. J.J. McCullough.
J.J. McCullough.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we do know now what phase we are in vaccinations. You know, we've been hearing about you guys having your vaccinations, and Bill is in phase B, or phase two, part A, and I'm in part B, and we expect sometime between April and June to be getting ours.
Between April and June?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're waiting. I'm supposed to be eligible in April, so we'll see what happens. Yuya is supposed to be eligible in May, so we'll see what happens. The federal government has come out with a statement saying the CERP, not having your CERP. If you guys haven't heard this, the CERP is your government identification number. You get one if you're a temporary or permanent resident, but people that are here on tourist visas do not have one. So to reiterate, the U.S. government, or I'm sorry, the Mexican government has made an official statement saying the CERP will not stop you from getting a vaccination. Now, they haven't come out with any official, this is the way you do it without a CERP, but what they have officially said is that you should be able to get a vaccination regardless of whether you have an official identification number with the Mexican government.
Great.
That's the...
Everybody feel bad. I get my second shot tomorrow.
All right, Fred.
Yay.
What you. Is that in, Fred?
We're happy for you, Fred.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't feel bad. We're happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Which state, Fred?
Washington.
Washington, all right.
He's flying with his girlfriend up to the Yukon to get in line.
Yeah. Well, it worked before.
Did you guys hear that? I mean, as long as we are still talking about coronavirus, you hear about those two women that dressed up as old ladies?
Huh?
Yep. In Florida.
Get their...
I love that point. This is their second shot. They got caught. That means that they were able to get through on their first shot. They were able to grow up. They were able to dress up as old people and get in line and get their first shot.
Didn't they have to show ID?
Not old.
I guess not. One of them had a bonnet. Which the talk show, I think like Jimmy Kimmel said something about, that's the most Bugs Bunny experience I've ever seen in real life. He's got one of them's got a bonnet on.
Yeah. It's funny. People
I have Discovery Plus.
And other people refuse. It's funny, you know.
I have Discovery Plus, and last night I watched a documentary about the development of the vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
It's featuring Fauci prominently.
Hey, is a good time to get into our recommendations. You said that's on Discovery Plus. What's the name of it?
COVID vaccine, the story, or something like that.
I'll Google
it. Story of the vaccines.
Hey, I want to say somebody a couple of weeks ago mentioned Dr. Pimple Popper.
What?
That is the most
disgusting
thing. I couldn't make it through 10 minutes of it. It was so bad. I mean, 10 seconds of it. I went to her YouTube channel, and I'm like, I don't need to see this show at all. I have no interest in this show at all. Have you heard of Dr. Pimple Popper?
I have medical.
Say again,
I have
Paul.
Medical training. So great interest.
Yeah.
Because this is my medical training, so.
No, that was that.
Can
was,
we take that as a non-recommendation then?
From me, you do. I probably feel stronger about that than Cheryl feels about the latest sci-fi from what's his name,
George Clooney
sci-fi, which I had to go back and rewatch because I had fallen asleep halfway through it when I watched it with Yuya, and after Cheryl. Feeling so strongly that it was bad, I had to watch it again. And she's right. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in that movie.
So what you're saying is if we can try to find the worst movie possible to see if you'll actually watch it. Is that what you're saying?
I I think you should. I'll accept that challenge to see if I haven't already watched it.
By the way, we were watching some TV show a couple nights ago, and all of a sudden, Alexa beside us says, "What did she say, Cheryl?"
"I'm here."
Oh. Yeah, she just popped up and said, "I'm here."
So
we went and played it back. We rewound and played it back, and she wouldn't do it again. We must have laughed at her or something. She got mad.
Well, what a perfect time to get into your Alexa history and see what triggered it.
There's an idea. Yeah?
Yeah? I've forgotten to plug. I normally plug mine in while we're doing club because I trigger it often by accident. I'm curious what I've done.
Yeah, it was during a cooking show, and whatever the guy was doing, he was making a Thai sauce, and he said something, and all of a sudden she says, "I'm here." So we rewound.
Well, maybe she really likes Thai sauce.
You know, I guess. Hey, we rewound it, and she didn't do it. We rewound again, and we could not get her to do it. But we forgot to go into the...
I'm here almost sounds like she's offended. Like, did you forget that I'm here on the counter? I mean, if you're going to be passing out Thai food.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I that one time me too. Away, yeah. The snakes have bones, and with the most, like, disappointed voice, she's like, they have bones.
That's right. We ask Alexa a lot of questions, and there was a debate in my house about whether snakes had bones, and half of us believed they did, and the other half didn't. So we asked Alexa, and Alexa paused for a moment, and in this really kind of patronizing voice said, "Snakes have bones."
And just turned off. She just turned off. No more context.
She was really disappointed in us. It's like, come on, you got to have some deeper questions than this.
She's like, "Snakes have bones and nothing else." She just turned off.
"Do snakes have bones?" According to Wikipedia, or I found this on whatever, she does a lot more explanation than that.
That's so. Right. That's what blew us away. Is she didn't go in depth on anything. It was almost like she was giving us an evil eye going, "Snakes have bones. What are you, nuts?"
Well,
bothering me with it.
If we're doing recommendations or not recommendations, I have 4 from Netflix and 2 things that I watched on Prime. It's been a watching week.
Oh, watching.
There's a series called Behind Her Eyes, and to me, it's a mini series. It's almost like a movie that's been broken up into 8 parts or something. But Behind Her Eyes, a psychological thriller.
Is that on Netflix?
This is on Netflix.
Netflix.
And it basically is people that have out-of-body experiences kind of thing, and they take over other people's bodies. But it's an interesting little thing. UK, Scotland involved, but yeah, I watched it. I don't know if I mentioned Steel Magnolias.
You're mentioning these because these are ones you think we'd enjoy, right? This isn't another one you shouldn't watch it.
No, they were interesting.
Is Steel Magnolias a TV show based on the movie?
Steel Magnolias is a series, and it's not based on the movie. It's just southern girls that have it's sort of like a romance kind of situation thing. But it's okay. Sweet.
Oh, Sweet Magnolias.
How many stars, Bill?
Bill doesn't watch these things with me. Bill has his own list, and they're all sci-fis and war movies and things.
Hey, Bill, get back here. You got to save us from some of these.
He's walking around, but he's hearing you in his, Okay, so Firefly Lane is another one, kind of a chick flick thing.
You mentioned that last week, I think, and Yuya's been watching it and enjoying it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if I told you about that one. Now, this one is about computers. It's Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, I love this show.
Yeah, I thought you might. Yeah, that one I just got into. I just started watching it last night. So
this is a dramatization. It's a fictitious history of the personal PC development, starting in the mid-70s. Well, actually starting even earlier than that, but it starts right around the early 70s and moves its way up through each season. They go through another level of technology. That's not the right way to say that. But there have been some key moments in personal computers, and they've taken those personal moments, those key moments, and then dramatized a fiction around it that's very similar to what actually happened. The first season, I think, is probably the most interesting because they really are telling the story of Compaq, if you remember Compaq computers. And they don't use name Compaq, but they tell the story of the first IBM clones and what was done to reverse engineer the startup instructions so that anyone could build their own IBM compatible computer. It really is the story of how Compaq came to be a company. Do you understand the reference Halt and Catch Fire?
I didn't, and you explain it.
Well, from what I remember from the history is that there was a line in their BIOS that would tell the computer to crank up the processor and not receive any commands, like cool it down. And if it was executed, it would literally fry the processor off the board. And it was put into, if I understand this right, it was put into IBM BIOS code so that somebody that was reverse engineering would end up inadvertently frying their computer.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I didn't know Compaq, but I knew that it was a dramatized what do they call it?
Creative nonfiction.
No, they have a term for it. Dramatic portrayal or something. Because the other one I watched is on Prime, and it's called Castles in the Sky from 2014. And it's the story of radar and how just the lead up to World War II when weathermen were in charge of building this radar system. It was really interesting. And it was a dramatization of history. A historical dramatization or something.
Yeah, Cheryl, I think that they refer to things like that as creative nonfiction. It's nonfiction, but they're better looking people, and they sometimes make three characters into one, and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah,
creative
dramatization of it. Yeah,
that sounds like probably a good description for the Castles in the Sky, the Halt and Catch Fire. Is really, they're telling the stories, but they're different names. There's new experiences that are... It's more like they're telling the legend, so they're not getting caught up in the specifics, but they're telling those legendary stories that you hear in the industry. Each season, if we can go back to that for a second, each season is a critical point. The first season was the Compaq, the first compatible IBM clones. I think the second season was the Macintosh, and it was all the Steve Jobs kind of development of his persona. And so they are definitely these characters. They're living fictional lives, but they're taking these critical periods in tech history, and they're developing this fictitious story around it. But a lot of the details are accurate. Like it's not Apple that they're doing, but they're doing the Apple persona. They're doing the Apple interface. They're doing the Steve Jobs kind of persona and the way that they would manage it during that time period in the mid 80s. And they go 70s, 80s, 90s and up in that. I'm sorry. I like that show. We can go on.
Well, I just started it yesterday, so I'm just into the first season, but, yeah, Halt and Catch Fire looks like I would give it a recommendation for sure. Castles in the Sky was a very interesting couple of hours, you know, hour and a half, whatever.
That's a TV show as well? That's shows? Episodes?
Castles in the Sky is a movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's on Prime is where I saw it.
Castle in the
Sky. Not House Magic.
No, that was another show called Castle in the Sky, I think.
Oh, okay.
Let me Google.
Castles in the Sky is about radar development.
Oh, so there's a different one. Okay. Yeah. I mean castle in, like not castles, plural.
Yeah, what they referred to was they made these towers, and they realized that they needed more of them to cover the whole coastline in England.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it was very, very interesting. And
that's a great bit of wordplay. When you think of towers, radar towers, you think of the towers on the corners of castles. It's a neat reference.
Well, and also because they were defending their country, and the way that he had to explain it to the powers that be that would fund him, he had to say, you wouldn't try to defend your whole country with one castle. You know, and that's when he kind of got through to them that we need the money to develop more of these.
Not to be confused with Castle in the Sky, which BB just showed me a picture of an anime.
Movie.
An anime movie?
Yeah.
Is that Studio Ghibli? She's a big fan of Studio Ghibli's. Maybe hold it up there. Can you see it?
So yeah, this is different. This is only what there used to be.
She heard your title and it immediately triggered a bell with her, so she went Googling for it.
But the thing is, the difference, there's a very small difference. You're talking about castles, which is plural.
Very similar name. Have we got any other recommendations? Cheryl, have we gotten
my
through your whole list?
I just watched a movie, which I realize I've watched before, but it was kind of a nice Michael Douglas, Diane Keaton, 2014. The title is And So It Goes.
And So It Goes. That's a romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to recommend? This is open. TV, movies, books, websites, podcasts.
Well, I want somebody to tell me what I can watch on Disney and on Prime, because you know we're paying for both of those, and I need some recommendations.
Your mother and I have just finished watching Turn.
Turn.
For the second time.
For the second. Well, that's a good endorsement. This is that Revolutionary War show.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing, and it's so refreshing after what we've been going through in this country, to especially listen to George Washington talk about what his expectations are for the country and so forth, was just so well done. And I think, what is it, 4 seasons to that? It's just tremendous.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes, Netflix.
And it's just Turn, as in
T-U-R-N. That's what? It.
Is it a reference to turncoats, to spying? It seems like a lot of that movie was about spying.
It's all about spying.
A TV show, yeah, all about spying. Yeah. So I think that Turn is a reference to turncoats. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah, and your mother's reminding me that it's how intelligence allowed them to win the war. That whole spy network they had was the real secret to success. And it was a lot of fun kind of watching the whole Benedict Arnold thing. You really get a whole new appreciation for why he is considered such a famous traitor.
Famous traitor.
Infamous, yeah.
Cool.
Well, I watched the first season of that and thought it was really good and then never got back to it. I should go back and watch it again.
Yeah, it took a while for me to get back to it, too, but it was well worth it. The other one we've been watching on Hulu, just kind of for fun and just a different perspective, is the two McLeod sisters.
What?
That's the name of it, isn't it? McLeod's Daughters. McLeod's Daughters.
That's the name of the show? McLeod's Daughters?
McLeod's Daughters is Australian country western kind of thing. I watched it as a series when it was first out. Gosh, that's years ago. But I just found it the other day too.
I think they have current versions of it too. So I mean, it looks like it's been going on for 20 years. But anyway, yeah. It's really grabbed our attention. So it's
for 20 years. So are you watching the more recent episodes, or have you gone all the way back?
You're changing your mind.
Oh, shit. I remember.
Is that a recommendation?
Sorry. We were just having a little thing.
Okay. Is there anybody?
Am I telling you more about McLeod? I don't think so.
Okay. Well,
unless you
recommendations is open to all kinds of media. So if you have found a new podcast or a new application or a new website you think we would appreciate knowing about, this is a good time to share it. The I come empty-handed, which is really odd because I watch things often.
Just to let you know that Turn is not available here.
In Mexico? Not available.
No, I was just looking for it now. At least not on my subscription to Netflix.
Well, I wonder where it is available. We should look at Just Watch.
We just watch from our stick, our Fire Stick, the TV stuff that we got from Scott in Mexico. So we did it through there.
So you've been using the on-demand portion of the Radiosity that Scott Bailey offers to people as a service.
Yes, It's really a good system.
He won't let you put it on hold over the summer, so I would either have to cancel my subscription in the States and use his year-round or whatever. So
I was just trying to bring up my... What's going on with my internet? I can't seem to bring up my list of things I've been watching recently.
Anyway, Turn's available in Canada on Netflix.
Well, without an actual recommendation, I do have some topics that are related to recommendations. And that is, today is the day that Disney Plus launches its Star application, its Star section. That will allow adult-oriented content, which sounds bad when I say it out loud, but it's Disney, so this means R-rated stuff. This means above PG-13, available online. And most of this content they've gotten through their acquisitions. So these are like Miramax films. These are Fox 20th Century Studios, they're called now. These are ABC productions as well. This is a whole collection of content that Disney owns, but has determined it to be inappropriate to release through Disney Plus. And so what they're doing is they're put together a new service called Star, and in the United States, it's going to be in... I mean, people that are on Disney Plus right now should see another section header that says Star, from what I understand. So they would see Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and they would see Star. And when you go into Star, you have the option of putting a password on it, so you can parental control access to that area of the Disney app, so that adults can get access to this content while Disney Plus remains a playground for younger people. Now, the United States is the only place, well, and maybe Canada. In fact, you guys should check out your Disney Plus app and see if it's changed and read through. I'll put this article online. I've got some really weird feedback coming back through Fred. Fred, I think it's you. Fred, I'm going to mute you.
Sorry.
I don't know what you're saying. I muted you. But it's gone away. So in Canada, what they're doing is they're raising the price of Disney Plus. They're doing this in the United States, too. So I think this is going to affect Canada. I think your Disney Plus subscription is going to become more expensive. It's going to be $11.99 in Canada. And you're going to get Star as part of it, whether you want it or not. And what they've said in Latin America is that Star is going to be a separate app that you would pay a...
Hello?
That you would pay for separately. You'd have an additional cost for the Star service. Are you going off to eat? All right. Well, thanks for joining us in today's Computer Club. I would like to address you by your cosplay name, but I don't think I can say it.
Probably not.
Can you tell us again? BB's leaving.
Bye.
It's
bye, BB.
Time.
Yeah, I haven't had breakfast.
Looking good. Like the color of your hair.
Do you hear?
What's the bird's name?
Oh, it's Q-Tone.
It's Mina. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The bird's name is Dream. So anyway, I would keep an eye out for that. That's going to be available, and I haven't seen anything except Disney is increasing the price of Disney Plus, and there's a list of countries it's doing it in. And then in another article I read, the countries that they're not raising the price and adding it automatically, they're doing it as a separate service that you would buy separately. And so instead of being a star section next to Marvel, next to Pixar, next to Disney, it would be a separate app on your Fire Stick that would be called Star in Mexico. I've got two articles talking about this, and I will link both of them in today's meeting on the website. Out of the second article, I saw something that was very interesting. Makes me feel like I'm a bit of a Nostradamus when it comes to tech. Because Disney apparently has 94.9 million subscribers. That's Netflix. That's half of Netflix. Netflix has 200 million subscribers, according to this article. And Disney, in the short period that Disney Plus has been around, they've got almost half of what Netflix has. Quoted from the article, it says, "The launch of Star could be a key for Disney's international streaming growth. Disney wants to hit 300 million to 350 million by 2024, and they seem to be right on target for it. By adding this Star service, I think they're in direct competition with Netflix, whereas before this, these are the two platforms that people have. They have Netflix, and especially if they have kids, they have Disney Plus. Some of the things they mention are going to go out on Star today are Big Sky, Pretty Woman, the movie Pretty Woman, The Family Guy, Ugly Betty, and the contents come in from things like 20th Century Studios, that used to be 20th Century Fox, ABC, and Searchlight Pictures. So we've had a bunch of content that's been kind of bundled up and unavailable since the acquisitions. And now it's going to start getting released on this new channel. Channel being my word. And there's another topic that I wanted us to follow up on because Bill mentioned it last week. LastPass, as you know, I've been a LastPass fan for a long time. And some of you folks have adopted to LastPass like I did. But what Bill was telling us in the email he got during Club last week is absolutely true. I'll put a link to the announcement. But the highlights are starting March 16th, the free tier of LastPass can only be used for desktop web browsers or mobile devices, but not both. So if you're using LastPass to store your passwords, they are encouraging you to pay for the subscription. Right now, they have got a deal where it works out to be $2.25 annually, or I'm sorry, $2.20 a month that you pay in an annual charge. And they have two tiers. They have a premium tier and a family tier. The family tier is $3 a month that you pay annually and allows you up to 5 accounts. Family is kind of cool because you can share your passwords with other people, those other 5 people. I think the most important takeaway from this, if you're using LastPass or you're using a password manager, is how do you use it? Being aware of how you use it. Are you out of here, Jim? Adios. I have had this soul searching because I'm probably not going to pay the subscription fee, at least not yet. I'm not that deep into LastPass. that I'm going to miss out on the features of having it either mobile or desktop. But I do know that I'm using LastPass 90% of the time on a screen in front of me on a desktop computer or a laptop computer. So when I sign in on the 17th, I am going to sign into LastPass using my desktop computer because that's where I get the most value from LastPass. I don't get it in my, and you guys may not be like me. You may be using LastPass and you get the most value out of your mobile device having access. And on the 17th, you're going to be making that decision. Are you out of here, Judy?
I am. Later.
Bye. See you next week. Thanks for being here. So I've already made that. I already know which decision I'm going to make. I'm going to remove it from my phone until I feel like I want to pay for it annually. And I'm just going to use it on my desktop computers. And truthfully, I guess I'm just really cheap. But I'm going to also be looking for an alternative. Maybe it will be the Firefox, the open source version that Firefox is running, which the name evades me right now. So the other thing that you're going to lose if you're on LastPass is email support. It's only going to be available on premium and family customers. Oh, and I was wrong. The date is the 16th, not the 17th. So when I sign in on the 16th, I will do it from a desktop computer. And from that point on, I will only be able to use desktop computers. Huh. For free, that is. For free. Oh, I don't see it here.
No.
No, you must have. And that is the end of any of the topics I brought with me today. Is there anything else we'd like to say in this meeting as we're not the typical 20 more minutes over, but we are a little bit over? Who would like to add some more to our meeting? Yes, Bill.
I will. Okay. It's just a continuation of the maybe James's and my Shark Fitbit kind of experience.
Yes.
I've been trying to find a Fitbit-type watch, only not with that price. I've tried two. One was where about $39, I believe, and it had a blood pressure reading function on it, which doesn't seem to work. It gives you the same reading all the time. So I got a hold of the company and said, hey, how do I make this work? And they said, well, don't worry about it. We'll send you another one. And they did right away. Plus, they have, if you fill out a review for them, they send you $10 into your PayPal account, which is about $15, I believe, in Canadian.
I remember this. Yeah, you were telling us about this last week.
Okay, and in the meantime, I ordered a different watch. Now I now have two of those Fitbits, neither one with the blood pressure works on, but I ordered a different one for about half that price, and it seems to function correctly, except I have a couple issues with it. And they offer, there's a little card came in it that offered us $30 Amazon card if you filled out the review. The review of the
So the $50 watch with $30 credit?
The $50 watch had a $15 credit.
Okay.
€10, which is €15.
Euros. Okay.
And I got two of them sitting here now. And the $25 watch came with a $30 offer for a Amazon gift card. Okay.
But what happened?
I filled out the review. You do the review it, and you give them a score. And I gave him a score of 4 stars, I believe it was. So a little later, I get a hold of him. I said, so how do I get this gift card? And this really nice broken English email came back and said, well, we would really like to give you your gift card, except we would like you to improve your review to 5 stars.
Wow.
And I suspect that this is totally against Amazon's policy. I'm pretty sure that
you'd
they don't
be right.
Allow that.
Yeah, there's been articles about reviews and fake reviews. It's a big deal right now.
Okay, so I'm just sitting here waiting. I want to get my $30, and I changed the review to 5 stars.
Okay,
and I want to get my card or PayPal, whatever. They said they just give them a PayPal account and they'll put it in there. I have 3 smartwatches, and I believe that I'm going to return 2 of them and still have the spare one that they sent me extra, and have $45 extra in the bank.
Well, it seems like you've found a new hobby while you've been in quarantine.
I think I'm going to retire on this.
I think I might have been more.
It's really interesting.
More tongue-in-cheek with them, like, why don't you let me leave the review and I don't share this with Amazon?
And you send me $50.
That's right. Who's working who?
Yeah, who's working who? But these companies these days seem to be, you know, really, really anxious to send you stuff and send you money. It's amazing. I'm going to... Maybe I should get a hold of the cheap guys and say, hey, your watch doesn't work. How do I return it? And they'll send me another one.
Right.
Whatever. I'm going to start a little Amazon store of my own.
Recent. Well, you know, you can, at least in the past, you've been able to buy pallets of stuff from Amazon, returned goods that they couldn't sell again. They have these mysterious pallets you can buy.
Well, that and I sent I mentioned it quite a while ago, the article that said that they just take it back and throw it in the dump, and destroy it.
Yeah, boy, I'd like to see that article. I don't think I've seen it.
I sent it to you once. It's back there somewhere. I'll find it again.
Yeah, because that
anyway.
That's messed up behavior.
It is, but it's cheaper to throw it away and replace it than it is to. Well, what are they going to do with it when they get it back?
I've definitely had my share of products just be sent, and they're like, no, don't worry about sending it back. But it's always been little stuff. It's always been stuff that, like, costs less than the postage to send it back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm still curious about the Shark vacuum cleaner because it came. It's in a brand new box. The whole thing is just just the way we bought the first one. And there's no, I checked again, there's no return label at all.
Well, it sure depends on what cycle their company's in. They could be in a goodwill cycle where it's whatever it takes to get us good press right now. We want people saying good things about us. So make people happy before worrying about how much it costs.
Yeah. They're in direct competition. Like, there's a lot of competition coming out for these Roomba-type vacuum cleaners now.
Yeah.
And you could be right. They could, but I know, like Cheryl says, it's just going to go down in the basement, the squeaky one. In the basement to clean up my pool table room.
It's
an open invitation.
It's like an ugly stepchild. You're gonna make him live in the basement.
there's an open invitation to come visit Billy T's Bar and Grill and share a beer and shoot a little pool.
Right.
You could have it clean the pool table.
I thought of that too.
Put a drink tray on it and just have it circling around down in the pool area.
We don't have a cat to train to sit on it and put it on TikTok.
You need a tray attachment like R2-D2 had in Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Run around serving drinks.
You know, I think I actually could. Oh, maybe not. No, not the drink. I'm just thinking of setting an area for it to clean the pool table.
You probably stick it on the pool table and
tell it to go. It'll sit there looking for its how to get home. It'll just do the table while it's doing it.
Does your model has a phone interface? You can drive it with your phone if you want.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's got that and it's the self-cleaning one. It goes back to its station and drops all the dirt off. You don't clean the Shark or the vacuum cleaner at all.
That's really
cool.
You clean
it out.
You told me
the filters on it.
You told me as well you challenged it with some towel in the room, and it seemed to deal with obstructions without any problems.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Like, there are, you know, like I just put a big towel right in the middle of the floor, and it just saw it as an object and went around it. But if it's not a big enough one to hit the bumper, then it'll start climbing up on it, and it'll get screwed up. Some carpets or throw rugs will screw it up. It'll get tangled up.
Yeah.
And it sits there and cries for help.
Yeah, our Roomba does the same thing on some throw rugs.
Yeah. So I looked at other Roomba types, and the newest one has, you know, sensing, object sensing stuff. You know, they're getting more and more sophisticated all the time.
I always feel like these things, they're great, but what they are is they're an opportunity for you to change your habits. I often tell the kids, I want your room clean enough for a robot to get through.
So they throw everything on top of the bed.
Yeah, well, it's a new definition of clean, right? It's like whatever it takes to get the robot through here is what you need to do to get your room clean. It's like your organization is your organization, but the floor is the robot's. So,
yeah, the future belongs to the robots.
That's right. Now we need one that'll lift furniture and go under.
Or one small enough to fit under the furniture.
That's the other thing is when we first got one, we went around and evaluated. We had shelving that was on stands. We reset the stands. It used to be the bottom shelf was 3/4 from the floor. Now it's like 3 inches from the floor, so the machine can go right underneath it. And then there's areas like under beds and under stands like that that never used to get vacuumed. They get vacuumed all the time now.
Well, we have an example of that. When my son was here, he brought the pool table. We also had a love seat type couch in the living room that Cheryl wanted downstairs, but it's too low for the Roomba to get underneath. So when they moved it, there's these great big dust bunnies underneath it, like huge ones that haven't been done for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
well, are there any other topics? Should we call this meeting to an end? Is there anything I have forgotten that people need to hear?
Scott, I need to talk to you about my computer, but it probably wouldn't involve anybody else.
Okay, Paul. Well, if you want, I can get a hold of you after this meeting's done. We'll bring this to an end and we can talk.
Okay. We could just stay on to get this right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I'm out of here.
And I'll let you guys go until next Tuesday at 10. This is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we will continue to meet in a quarantine fashion for the foreseeable future.
I'm out of here. Have a good day.
See you, Kathleen.
Everybody.
See you, Fred.
Bye.
Bye.
See
Mom,
you next
Dad.
Week. Okay.
See you later, Irving,
bye-bye.
If you can hear me. See you, Cheryl. Bye, Bill.
See you, Tech. See ya. Tech on, is it?
Tech on, everybody. Tech on. And I'm going to shut down this stream so Paul and I can have a conversation. Looks like Irving must have lost us at some point.
Oh, okay.
Turn on.
So,